听你课堂，听 class.com。
The children sighed and stood up. They had long ago given up trying to convince Foreman Fakutono that they weren't midgets. They waved goodbye to Charles and walked slowly to the waiting bundle of boards, with Foreman Fakutono walking behind them, and at that moment one of the children had a trick played on him, which I hope is... This trick involves sticking your foot out in front of a person who was walking, so the person trips and falls on the ground. A policeman did it to me once, when I was carrying a crystal ball belonging to a gypsy fortune teller, who never forgave me for tumbling to the ground and shattering her ball into hundreds of pieces. It is a mean trick, and it is easy to do, and I'm sorry to say that Foreman Fakutono did it to Klaus right at this moment. Klaus fell right to the ground of the lumber mill, his glasses falling off his face and skittering over to the bundle of boards. "Hey," Klaus said, "you tripped me!" One of the most annoying aspects of this sort of trick is that the person who does it usually pretends not to know what you're talking about.
"I don't know what you're talking about," Foreman Fakutono said.
Klaus was too annoyed to argue. He stood up and Violet walked over to fetch his glasses, but when she leaned over to pick them up, she saw at once that something was very, very wrong.
"Rot up!"
Sunny shrieked, and she spoke the truth. When Klaus's glasses had skittered across the room, they had scraped against the floor and hit the boards rather hard. Violet picked the glasses up, and they looked like a piece of modern sculpture a friend of mine made long ago. The sculpture was called Twisted, Cracked, and Hopelessly Broken.
"My brother's glasses!" Violet cried. "They're twisted and cracked. They're hopelessly broken, and he can scarcely see anything without them."
"Too bad for you,"
Foreman Fakutono said, shrugging at Klaus.
"Oh, don't be ridiculous," Charles said. "He needs a replacement pair, Foreman Fakutono. A child could see that."
"Not me," Klaus said. "I can scarcely see anything."
"Well, take my arm," Charles said. "There's no way you can work in a lumber mill without being able to see what you're doing. I'll take you to the eye doctor right away."
"Oh, thank you," Violet said, relieved.
"Is there an eye doctor nearby?" Klaus asked.
"Oh, yes," Charles replied.
"The closest one is Dr. Orwell, who wrote that book you were talking about. Dr. Orwell's office is just outside the doors of the mill. I'm sure you noticed it on your way here. It's made to look like a giant eye. Come on, Klaus."
"Oh, no," Charles," Violet said. "Don't take him there." Charles cupped a hand to his ear.
"What did you say?"
he shouted. Phil had flipped a switch on the string machine, and the ball of string had begun to spin inside its cage, making a loud whirring sound as the employees got back to work.
"That building has the mark of Count Olaf," Klaus shouted,
but Foreman Fakutono had begun to clang his pots together, and Charles shook his head to indicate he couldn't hear.
"Your yar!"
Sonny shrieked, but Charles just shrugged and led Klaus out of the mill. The two Baudelaire sisters looked at one another. The whirring sound continued, and Foreman Fakutono kept on clanging his pots, but that wasn't the loudest sound that the two girls heard. Louder than the machine, louder than the pots, was the sound of their own furiously beating hearts as Charles took their brother away.